Welcome to Making Sense with Dustin LaMontagne from Research Capital. My name is Bryn Griffiths. Hey, Dustin, how you doing today?
Hey, real good, Bryn. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Hey, can we talk about airlines? Because this is always a hot button. The airline industry in the last 4 years has undergone unbelievable change. It's incredible how they've been able to adapt after the pandemic, but not always for the good. But there's a lot of stuff to talk about, a lot of stuff to unpack here.
Yeah, well, the interesting thing about airlines is on a macro level, the businesses can't get any more simple, right? It's you get on a plane and they fly you from A to B.
Yeah.
But it's such a complicated business because, you know, in order to get from that A to B, not only it is a hugely capital intensive business, you know, filled with all types of risks from regulation to, you know, safety, you know, plane crashes, doors fall off in midair, like all these things, right, can impact the airline industry, fuel prices. So when you look at and you know, obviously weather. So you look at the business, it couldn't be any more simple, you know, classic transportation business, flying from A to B or flying cargo from A to B, but it's anything but. And the airlines, I think, have largely up until the last few years done a pretty good job of navigating. But I've noticed, especially in the last year or two, you know, all these flights just being canceled. And I think part of that is to get away from, you know, compensation when flights do get canceled. There's some sort of a rule there where is if the flight gets canceled versus delayed, I think it costs them less money. Because we were in Winnipeg in January. My son and I went to watch a game and we got in there on the Friday and woke up Sunday morning to a notice that our flight was just canceled for no particular reason. You know, whether it's staffing, it wasn't weather because other flights were taking off. It's just our particular flight was just off the map. So we had to rent a car and drive back to Edmonton. But this is the type of thing that can drive people crazy. But nonetheless, in the last year, airlines have had all-time record revenues. They're now approaching $1 trillion worldwide. So, and they've now finally got to the point where they're past pre-pandemic revenue levels.
Can I jump in here for a second? So you drove all the way back from Winnipeg because your flight was canceled. That's crazy.
Yeah, well, I didn't have much of a choice. I had appointments all day Monday, and
wow.
WestJet rebooked us on a Tuesday flight, and my son had school on Monday too. So,
Okay. But that's not the
thing for Manitoba. It's not.
Yeah,
we're kind of used to that drive from Manitoba to Alberta. We've done it plenty of times.
But so. When that happens, Dustin, doesn't that erode the confidence of the consumer? Like we're talking about the fact revenues are up because they're charging a high number, but that to me would scare me off as a passenger. That would worry me more than anything.
Well, and in our case, you know, I had the option of renting a car, but you know, what if you're in Phoenix or,
yeah,
you know, and you have to get back? Like the number one, the number one rule for regulation for airlines should be reliability. You should be reasonably expected that you're going to get on that flight and they're going to get you home. In my opinion, booking us on a flight 2 days later was just
unacceptable.
Unacceptable. Yeah. So, but I mean, if you want to get to a certain city on a Tuesday, you've basically usually just got one option, right?
Right.
So the airlines know they have us over a barrel. And you know, as much as you'll swear up and down because they give you such a terrible experience that you'll never fly WestJet or Air Canada or Delta or American or JetBlue ever again, you'll take whatever flight is leaving that day to the destination you want to go to because that's your only option.
Right? Or cheapest. A lot of people do that. I look for reliability now over the price. That's because I just want to make sure that I get there and my luggage.
Yeah, and sometimes you don't even have a choice in the matter, right? They don't have to give you a reason. They just say flight's canceled.
Yeah.
So, but from an investment perspective, you know, airline capacity and growth is expected to be about 3.5% a year till 2030. So it's definitely a growing industry, and airline stocks based on historical multiples look pretty cheap right now. Air Canada, American Airlines, Delta, they all, WestJet, of course, was taken over by Onex, so it's not publicly traded anymore unless you want to buy Onex shares. But it's definitely a growing area of demand, right? You look at between Boeing and Airbus, the amount of orders they have and the estimated jet demand, I think in the next 20 years is something like 43,000 jets.
Wow.
to the tune of about $8 trillion in today's dollars. So huge industry demand there. And of course, my favorite stat of all time is the fact that less than 20% of the population of the planet has even ever been on an airplane.
I know, it's amazing. However, what about airports too? Because, you know, we talk about the planes, we talk about the passengers. Airports seem to be expanding at a crazy rate as well. So there's infrastructure.
Oh, it's growing by leaps and bounds, right? I mean, you can't go to an airport anymore without seeing some sort of an expansion project. You know, look at Edmonton and Calgary. When I flew into Winnipeg, they were doing a little bit of an expansion on that. And that's, Winnipeg never seems to grow. It just seems to kind of stay stagnant. But there's even some infrastructure projects going on at that airport. So, I think it's one of my favorite industries to follow, just because I find it fascinating. It's a very simple yet complicated. The business is simple, but the running of the business is complicated. I've never been a huge investor in airline stocks, but they certainly look compelling right now. Like Air Canada at $18 as of our date of recording here. That was, I think it got near $50 pre-pandemic.
Wow.
So there's a little bit of a negative correlation between the price of jet fuel and airline stocks. So if jet fuel was to come down, usually that goes right to the bottom line, and it leads to a bit of a rally. Now, I'm not so certain we're going to see a decrease in jet fuel with the demand, but certainly I think if the demand is there, they're also going to have pricing power. You're probably going to see, even though more plane capacity has come online for those really popular routes, I'm thinking, Asia, Europe in the summer, Caribbean destinations in the winter, we're going to pay more because there's only so many flights leaving on and a huge demand, number of people that want to go on those flights. So.
Perfect. So you're watching the airline industry. Anything else on that? Because we just fly. I don't know if people watch it very closely, but you are.
Yeah. Well, you you don't think of the logistics that go into the industry, right? But I have a client who's a pilot at WestJet, and he was telling me the new route from Calgary to Tokyo is basically sold out since they brought that flight. But they're making all their money filling the bottom of the planes because I guess they just have huge capacity to carry weight. They're sending cargo back and forth.
That is another subject for another time, the cargo, because I do know that Edmonton's cargo situation is increasing dramatically. People don't recognize that there's 747 cargo flights flying into Edmonton in the middle of the night. So maybe that's another thing we'll talk about. But airlines is fascinating. How do people track you down?
Yeah, you can give me a call on my cell phone, 780-905-7729, or on email, dlamontagne@researchcapital.com.
Thanks, Dustin.
Thanks, Bryn.
Okay, well, that's it for today. We'll have more helpful hints coming your way on our next episode. Don't forget, all opinions expressed are solely Dustin's and do not reflect those of Research Capital. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon for investment decisions. Clients of Research Capital may maintain positions in the securities discussed in this podcast. Thanks for listening to Making Sense. Have yourself a great day.